couple hours of open lines, curses, you name it. We've got it for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hard to believe January is moving along, soon to go into February. It's going way too fast. Finally did my annual physical a year late. I did it. Last one I had was 2 years ago. And my doctor is so efficient. He says, you know what? We haven't had blood tests on you. We haven't this. And he does everything by the book. Everything by the book, the numbers, everything. But he said, I want you to take this new blood test. And I said, what is it? He said, it's called the Berkeley blood test. And he said, what they do is beyond just a general blood test, they actually now can get to the point where they can see the platelets in your blood. And he can tell you how big they are. If they're too big, he puts you on niacin, for example, which is a vitamin, to reduce that. But that this blood test determines all that. It's incredible how science is moving along to keep people living so long, and at the same time, how science is doing crazy things like scientists trying to invent viruses that could get loose and kill 40 million people. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, we'll be back with phone calls, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's start by going to our first-time caller, Simon, in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hello, Simon. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mr. George Norrie. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and I hope you are, too.
I'm doing great. I'm truck driving here. I don't know if you can hear this because I have a brand-new blue pair headset, but I'm going to honk the horn here.
Yeah, we do. Just a little bit, but I can tell you did that.
Oh, great. Well, it's just such a pleasure and honor to speak to you. Me and my buddy Nathan in Chattanooga, he's the security guard there. We talk every night about the show. We just love it. I'm always calling him up and joking with him, saying aliens are attacking my truck or just funny things, whatever the situation is on the show that night. And I just want to thank you so much for having Alex Jones, and I believe it's Terrell Ventura that was on the other night.
That's Jesse's son. That's right.
Oh, that was just an awesome show. I just want to thank you so much for standing up for our freedoms and our rights in America because they're being stripped away. Just, it was little by little, but just like you say, they're being taken away so fast now. And it's not Obama or it's not George W. Bush. It's just like these elite people. There's a power behind the scenes, like Alex Jones says. And I just want to thank you so much for having on shows like that. It's just an awesome time we live in that we can all be like a family, like a community, and talk about these things.
You know, Simon, I'm not going to let them get away with it. I mean, when push comes to shove, I'm going to stand up on this pulpit and broadcast these shows until they stop. I think because of the great jobs that some of these websites did when they went black during this protest on the anti-piracy bill and privacy bill, I think the fact that we did a program on that and we did issues on that, I think that all helped too. We aren't going to let them get away with it. And you know what? There's a difference here and a huge difference between doing what is right and what is wrong. And we're going to do it the right way. And hopefully people will continue to listen. And I think they are. I think things have changed. I've never heard. When's the last time you've ever heard of Congress backing down on something like they did on the anti-privacy bills? That doesn't happen. They pass these things. I don't care about you. But now they're beginning to wake up. They're beginning to say, we can't keep doing this. So it's changing a little bit at a time. At the same time, you know, you get this National Defense Authorization Act, and you give them the right to arrest anytime they want. It's because they think one day there could be civil unrest. That's the reason they're doing these things. Well, we're going to keep doing what we do. Let's go to Jim in New York. Geneseo, New York. Did I pronounce that right, Jim?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Hi,
good morning,
how are you?
Good morning to you and to Rosemary.
Well, thank you. Rosemary's not with us, but you got me now, Jimmy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. Say, I was calling about a couple of different topics, and what I do is I have my watch out here to keep my comments short and succinct, okay?
You're like a broadcaster.
Yeah, I have to be, quite frankly, for what I do. But at any rate, I heard the first portion of the your show about, the Knights Templar. I know about them quite well by virtue of education and training for quite a period of time. I'm not going into that. Now, let's go on to the dragons. Now, I don't find dragons to be terrible individuals. I find them to be very enjoyable and friendly myself.
Well, okay? like Mark Pinkham did. I mean, though he admitted there's some evil ones out there, he believes most of them are friendly.
That's my experience and knowledge as well. And, the thing I have, what I have a little bit of a difficulty with is, increasing my good communication with them, if you will. I know this is going to sound odd maybe to some people, but, communication is a very important thing to deal with regarding anyone or anything or any animal.
Sure.
Okay. So I was wondering whether or not there would be any tips that can be given relative to increasing better communication with dragons and other such spiritual types of beings that live beyond, quote-unquote, what might be expected as a normal period of existence for them.
Okay? Well, I got to tell you, until Mark Pinkham came on the program to talk about this, my idea of a dragon was, one of these mythological beasts, these fire-breathing dragons with wings. That's what a dragon is to me. And then when he got into, no, it's more energy. It's more of something that is dimensional. The devil was one. Some people are them. I started learning some things, too. So I don't know. I can't answer your question on what you can do in order to communicate with them in a better way. But I'm going to start looking for them. I know what psychic vampires are. They're everywhere. Let's go to Sydney in Los Angeles, west of the Rockies. Hey, Sydney, how are you?
Good evening. Top of the morning and new year to you.
And let's hope it's a great year for most of us.
Thank you very much. Yes.
All of us, everyone who's listening,
exactly.
Most of us on the planet.
I have a comment on faith. I'd just like to share that maintaining unshakable faith is very important. It's more important to realize and have faith in oneself than it is to label one's faith. If you can understand what I mean.
I'm getting there. Go ahead. Tell me more.
I just want to thank you because of all the topics, Coast to Coast has been the trailblazer of the most uncommon topics. And
that's true.
And I thank you for reinforcing my faith. And I just like to implore all to keep their faith unshakable and to strive to keep peace alive. And I thank you very much.
Well, Sydney, that was very, very well said. Thank you, too. Look, we want this program to be all kinds of things. I want it to be informative. I want you to learn something from it. I want to help you health-wise. We want to entertain you. We want to keep you on top of breaking stories like we do, like the Japanese tsunami that occurred while we were on the air and we took phone calls from Japan. That's what we want with this program. And that, sometimes you're gonna hear the far out show. You're gonna hear the weird thing. That's gonna happen. But that's kind of fun, and it lets your imagination drift, doesn't it? Let's go to Lakewood, Ohio. Stu's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Stu.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay, all is well.
Okay, great. Hey, I was hoping to get on while Rosemary was on, but didn't make that.
But you got me anyway, Stu. You got me.
Yes, I do. Hey, I have this object that I picked up at an antique shop. It is an ashtray with an actual piece of Adolf Hitler's marble from his fireplace inside, built into the ashtray.
How do you know that?
It's been authenticated and everything.
Really?
Yes.
What did you have to pay for that? I'm curious.
Just a little over $100.
You can go to that pawnbroker show that's on the History Channel. They pay a fortune for that.
Yeah, I've seen them. They sell them for like $500 on the internet.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, they stripped his house, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a month after VE Day, they stripped his house out.
Wonder what his house looked like.
Well, it was beautiful. Beautiful.
Was it a mansion?
Oh, had to be.
Where do you live, in the Bavarian Alps?
Yeah.
I figured that.
That is. And my sister and my grandfather were also born on the same day as him. And that's a trip. But I was wondering if that piece of marble could be cursed.
Well, you know what? I was just going to say, how do you feel knowing that he might have touched that?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I never thought about it until tonight when she was talking about this. Things like that.
I mean, you talk about pure evil, Stu. He was pure evil.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm not sure if it would be cursed, but it could carry some demonic spirits with it. Maybe his spirit. Who knows?
That's kind of a creepy thought.
Yeah, it is. What are you going to do with the ashtray?
I've been using it for an ashtray.
You going to keep it?
I'm not sure.
I know. I mean, on one hand, it's kind of nice to have some historical relic, but on the other hand, it's his, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a slap in the face to him because he was notorious for non-smoking. You know, you couldn't light a cigarette in his presence.
He'd probably shoot you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Talk about a non-smoking ordinance.
But it's just wild that I happen to have it, and I wanted to get her take on it.
Yeah, I don't think it's, like I said, I don't think it's cursed, but it could carry something with it.
Wow, it's a trip.
All right, be careful with that. Next up, let's go to Dan, truck driving in Missouri. I hear there's sleet out there, Dan. What's going on your way?
Dealing with frozen roads, so I'm trying to make a reroute just to get down to Texas.
Ah, will you be careful?
Yes, sir. I certainly am. I mainly wanted to say thank you for standing up for veterans in regards to your comments and conversations that you've had on the show over the years and in regards to the working industry itself. And I'm just trying to make heads or tails out of this entire election process they got going on this year. The media has done any and every blatant thing they can do to ignore or outright omit Ron Paul.
Yes.
And when they do ask him questions and try to quote what he said, they get it completely backwards.
Exactly. You know, I got an email from someone. I said last week, I like Ron Paul. He's been on the program. I think his policies are strong. And I think he's a great human being and a great candidate. But I predict, I don't think he's going to win.
I know, and that's the thing that sucks, is that if they turn around and decide to put either the freaking Iguana Boy or Businessman of the Year up on the podium as the Republican candidate, they're going to turn around and give Ron Paul a choice of either going independent or toe the line and just shut his mouth.
Right.
And if he goes independent, they hand the election off to Obama.
Right.
That's why the Democrats are sitting there saying, yeah, we think that Mitt Romney is your best choice, but he's also not strong enough. We know he's going to get the nomination, but he's not strong enough to unseat Obama. So
if things get a little better before November, it's going to be very difficult to beat President Obama. And, you know, and people, here's my point. This is what I want everybody to know. If I say I don't think Ron Paul's going to win, doesn't mean I don't like him. I've told you 100 times I think he's great. I'm just telling you that the media ignores him, and in terms of my perception, because I've been in this business 100 years, he won't win because of that. Now, the email I got was, George, you manipulate, in a good way, the minds of a lot of people when you talk. And so if you say he's not going to win, people aren't going to vote for him. No. You're missing the boat. He's not going to get the delegates in order to get the nomination. That's what I mean. I'm saying that as someone who has been in the news business for a long, long time, and I see this, and that's my perception. It's my opinion. So, you know, don't send me nasty emails about my opinion. I'm just making a prediction, you know, period. I've never told you I'd like Barack Obama, or I do. I've not told you Ron Paul's the best, or he isn't. I'm just telling you I like the guy. He's honest, and he's doing a great job. But the bottom line is the media, as Dan says, has ignored him, and he shows up strong in every online poll. If he doesn't win it, he's second. Whether it's a Drudge poll or a CNN poll, you name it, Ron Paul is way, way up there. And I'll tell you one of the things I think he's doing, and he's probably pretty brilliant about it. I think he wants to keep his name strong so his son, Rand Paul, when he decides to run in 4 years or so, people will say, ha, this is a younger version. We want him. That might work, and that may be part of the reason why he's in there doing what he's doing. But it's an incredible story with Ron Paul. Here he is, 76 years old, and he's got more young voters than any of the other ones combined. You talk to an 18-year-old or 21-year-old, and ask them what candidate do they like, Ron Paul's name will come up. And I find that to be fascinating as well, too. Next up, let's go to Jeff in Canada on the international line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, George.
Mm-hmm.
I must tell you, you're getting the ripple effect. Your affiliate out of the Niagara region, one of the talk show hosts talked about earth noises on Wednesday as well as Thursday.
Perfect. Good.
And I called his producer and he said, well, let him know that George covered this the other night, and he had very positive comments to say about you.
Well, good.
As a host. But very quickly, because we won't have much time, but I've got to tell you this quick story. I went to a funeral of a teacher that had retired, an elderly lady. This is in the spring of 2011. And I was at the reception, and I was talking with another teacher, and she said, didn't you have Brenda Turner for a teacher? And I said, yes. And she said, well, that's her daughter just heading out the door. So I ran after Debbie, and I caught her just as she got outside, and I said, Debbie, can I talk to you for a second, please? And she said, certainly. And I said, Debbie, I'm Jeffrey Olimer. I used to, and she said, you babysat me.
Oh, my gosh.
You're the man that saved my life. Thank you. And she hugged me, and as a 17-year-old, when she was 3 and a half, she was choked on a piece of wiener. I was a football player. I picked her up by the ankles
and popped it out.
Gave her a shot between the shoulder blades, and I saved her life. Now that was in 1970. Last Friday, I went to Debbie's funeral.
Oh my God!
And I hadn't seen her. Well, I hadn't seen her for 40 years. Saw her at Molly's funeral. Then I went to Debbie's funeral last Friday, and I stood there in the chapel, standing room only, and I thought, as a 17-year-old, because of my actions, I either would have carried the burden of having a child die on my watch, but because I saved her life.
You did save her life. You did. And that is great. Well, it's time for our shout-out to those of you who listen to Coast on our more than 560 radio station affiliates across North America. Thank you for everything you do. Coast Insiders, of course, thank you. Less than 25 cents a day, by the way. XM Talk Channel 168. Then the various chat rooms into infinity. Thank you. Fantastic Forum 2. Hope you're all doing well there. Imaginative World Sorcery IRC. Those who follow us on Facebook, Twitter, the Yahoo chat folks, the Southern California UFO meetup group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis, who's out there in the middle of the sleet, the cold, and the rain in St. Louis. We're going to Otsego, Michigan now. Fred's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Fred, what's going on?
Yeah, how's it going, George?
Okay, looking forward to tonight. I love open lines.
All righty. I'm sure you've already discussed this previously on the program, considering your field of expertise, but I was wondering if you had checked out House Resolution 8791 and what your thoughts were on it.
Well, now, I don't know all the numbers, so what is it?
All right. It's a Homeland Security anti-terrorism bill, and to actually listen to what they discussed when they read it aloud in front of Congress sounded awfully like an anti-alien invasion bill.
I think we talked about that one, not with the specific number. This is the Expatriation Act, I believe, where they can strip you of your citizenship. Is that the one?
I'm not sure of that. I know that it's on YouTube. You can actually look it up on YouTube, HR 8791. And the guy, when he's reading off the actual bill in front of Congress, he's saying stuff about underground birthing areas and underground bunkers and irradiated and talking about different chemical attacks and stuff like that. But it really suspiciously sounds like a anti-extraterrestrial invasion bill.
Like okay, that one, that kind of alien you mean.
Yeah, I am dead serious. And, I mean, you can't really understand the full gist of the bill because half of what he says is the word classified.
Interesting. Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah, and I'd advise the listeners to look it up and get their feedback in on this as well.
We'll turn Linda Moulton Howe loose on something like that. Let's go to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Julie is with us west of the Rockies. Now, that's where Rupert Sheldrake was, by the way, back in 2008 when he got stabbed. Hi, Julie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. It's so good to hear your voice. I just I want to call on behalf of a whole lot of people in Santa Fe. Just we want to thank you and thank the whole Coast to Coast family. We just love you guys every night. I'm an advocate for people with disabilities and for veterans.
Good for you.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
And Santa Fe is really progressive to try to end the situation with the homelessness. We've really done a lot in our community to do that. We just recently built an interfaith shelter here, and it's great. But, you know, so many people are losing their homes these days. We've still got a huge, huge bunch of people that are camping out or living in their cars. And, you know, on behalf of everyone, I just want to say thank you because Coast to Coast is what really gets people through the night. And it makes people feel, you know, feel involved, and everyone feels like they're part of the Coast to Coast family when they can just turn on that radio.
Oh, yeah. It's interactive.
I just, you know, I was talking to some of my veterans this week, and I said, okay, you guys, I'm going to call on everyone's behalf.
All right. You tell the vets hi for us, okay?
I will. Thanks.
You got that.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That's a great cause. I basically help out two causes that I'm very interested in. As you know, Children's International. And then, of course, you know Robert Shapiro, the famed attorney here in Los Angeles. He has a foundation since his son died several years ago. He'll be on Monday night, by the way. We're going to talk about his career as a great American success story and his foundation as well. I told Bob we will help him out as much as we can too. His son died of a mixed overdose a long time ago, and Robert is devoted to educate the world about that kind of danger. So he'll be on Monday night, first hour. We'll take some of your calls. He also was the inventor of LegalZoom.com, another company called ShoeDazzle.com. And, of course, you also know him as a famed attorney because he's handled many people in the news, past, present, and future. Let's go to first-time caller James in Dallas, Texas. You're up with us. Go ahead, James.
Hi, George. It's quite an honor to be on with you.
Well, I'm glad you got through.
I've listened to your show for over 10 years since I was in high school. So
thank you.
I think it's just one of the best, and you're truly brave to do what you do.
Thank you.
I'm calling. I wanted to comment as a regular listener, a first-time caller. I was a bit surprised tonight by your guest, Mark Pinkham.
On the Dragons?
Yes. I myself am a 32nd degree Freemason. I just had a book published under nonfiction about it, and it's sort of a tell-all, if you will. And it's under the New Falcon label, which is extraordinary. And I have had some previous business dealings with the IRVC, which is the Imperial and Royal Dragon Court, really just on a contractual basis, and that is headed by a man named Nicholas DeVere, who you might have heard of.
I have not.
Okay. He's, I guess you could say, sort of the top researcher in this dragon stuff. He has a couple books out. One is The Dragon Seed. The other is The Dragon Legacy. And he's the prince of this Drakenberg, and it is recognized under the EU, and there is a validity to it. And Mr. Pinkham used to work for the IRDC, and it's long since been shut down, and before it was, he was booted out from that consortium. And I don't know why he is calling himself a Templar, because I, being a former member of the Supreme Council, I worked for them, I have paycheck stubs from them, worked for them for 1 year tenure, and I can tell you beyond any shadow of a doubt that Mr. Pinkham is not a Templar, because to be a Knight Templar in modern day, you have to be a 32nd degree Royal Arch Freemason.
Okay, I don't think he's a Freemason. I wish you would have called in. You could have asked him that, because he's gone right now. But send me an email, and we'll just get it forwarded to him if you want. Let's go to Tom. He's got a text for us. What do you got? Where's it from?
Hey, George. Sadine from Ontario says, George, I listen all the time. You used to talk about a dog you had, a lab, I think. Can you please give us an update on how he's doing?
It's she, first of all. It's Casey. I can still hear those texts coming in back there.
They keep going in?
It's Casey, the little yellow lab.
Okay.
She is being taken care of in St. Louis. Obviously, I can't keep her there when I'm not. And so there was a woman whose dog died. And as I was coming out to spend more time in Los Angeles, she saw Casey. And I said, look, I need someone to take care of her. Would you? And she started crying, and she took the dog, and Casey's fine. Now, about a year and a half ago, Casey had a little tumor on her shoulder, but it's okay.
I remember that dog. I love Pretty Dog. Pretty Dog.
But she started off as a little puppy.
I got to tell you, I'm partial.
They all start off as little puppies.
I'm partial, though, to you and Freddie.
Freddie, by the way, was posted up on our Digicam.
On the Coast to Coast AM website.
Freddie is your dog and Rocky's dog and is the cutest little thing. And you saved him, didn't you?
Freddie likes you. Yeah, we got him from a pound, and he had no hair, and we fed him. And
he looks sickly when I first saw him.
He looks great now. We can see him with you.
But every time I see him, he barks at me.
He likes you.
Little Freddie. Okay. And you know what? I think it's very special for people who save dogs or cats from animal shelters if they can. You know, I have a rule of thumb here in terms of pet ownership. You don't have to own a pet. You have to love the animal. But if you do own the pet, take care of it. Okay? Take care of it. It's an expense, and it takes time. But it comes back to you in spades in terms of that love from that animal. But I was on a date once with a gorgeous woman, and we're having dinner, and she said, I hate animals. And I looked at her and went, if she hates animals, what else does she hate? And I said, why do you hate animals? She says, I don't like dogs. They're smelly. I just don't like cats. I don't trust them. And she went on and on and on and on to talk about why she hates animals. And I did the right thing. I paid the bill and I left. I didn't want any part of that. Next up, let's go to Ray in Washington, California on the wildcard line. Hey, Ray, welcome to the show.
George?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. George, I wanted to say that I have a great love of women, too, but I think you did the right thing because I also have a great love for animals.
I know, but believe me, she was cute. I bit my nails, but I had to do it.
Yeah, I think you did the right thing, too, George. I also have a great love for not Dobermans, you know, for the dog that you have.
Lab. Labs are great. I've always had labs. Chocolates, black ones, yellow ones.
There's a man who, anyway, he lives not too far from me, and he has a beautiful black Labrador named Axel, and I think his wife told me the last time, I hadn't seen him for a while, that they just went to Alaska and just came back to Washington, D.C. But anyway, he's a beautiful dog. I've even taken some photographs. He walked him in front of my door.
So great with kids.
Yes, yes. They're very gentle. They're very loving. They're beautiful animals. They have a beautiful, you know, George, I used to work... maybe I could tell you off the air sometimes. I don't want to say it too much because I'm not on Capitol Hill anymore for the last 3 years. But I was up there for 20 years, and maybe sometime we could talk off the air. I didn't want to say too much about it. But I used to work on Capitol Hill for 20 years, and I used to walk down the hallways and see Senator Kennedy when he used to take his Portuguese water dogs out the Russell Building past the Capitol Police there, we often used to talk about, because he was a great animal lover, and he really loved those dogs. I tell you, he could have a stressful day, but I could see the man had sometimes we all worked 15 or 16 hours up there, just had a shine in his face and how much he loved animals, and we used to talk about that when he would take them out the door of the Russell Building. I wanted to mention that. But, George, my main question tonight was, you know, you often said the last few months or last year, anywhere where you would go around the country, you felt people stressed out and everything like that, and I think I might have the answer to it.
Why do you think it's happening?
I think, George, that the last decade that we've gone through, and I think now that we're entering a new decade, see, I've always been a decades person. I'm going to be 67 years old in about a few days. So I'm coming up on a decade birthday in another 3 years myself.
Sure.
Remember, remember I told you that that I'm going back to work. I'm having some difficulty. Thank God I look 15 or 17 years younger. But I'm not on Capitol Hill as of 3 years ago. Not due to my, you know, it was out of my hands. It was another situation. But anyway. So life goes on, and, you know, there are a lot of older workers in the getting back in the workforce now, and I have a lot of good contacts here in Washington, D.C., but I think because of the fact that we've gone through such a stressful last decade, I tell you, it was about the worst decade of my life. It was so stressful.
It was stressful.
On so many levels,
yes.
George, that I think people are sort of like beaten down, and everyone... I know all the emails that I send out, I put, you know, when it says subject, I put new decade, because we all so desperately want a new decade. And for so many reasons, obviously, the most of it is financial. But it's just on so many levels that we feel so beaten down that everyone is just, and now here we are in a new decade. And I think everybody just wants a fresh start. I think that last decade was just terrible on every level.
I think you're right. I don't smoke. I never smoked a cigarette in my life. But I need one of those sit-back moments. You know how those folks who smoke, if you smoke, it's like one of those awe moments. You light up your cigarette and you just chill on the porch. I think everybody needs one of those moments. Maybe not with a cigarette in your hand. But you just need to sit back and relax and chill. By the way, when I was in St. Louis and my father passed away, I can't tell you how many voicemails I got on my office phone here. And it is virtually impossible for me to call some people back who wanted some response. Virtually impossible, but I want you to know that the calls came through, and my system is jammed up. I don't know when we'll ever get out of it, but thank you for some of those calls. Lorianne in British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, George.
My pleasure.
I have a little cat named Casey.
Perfect.
Anyways, what I wanted to ask you is we were talking about curses. Earlier on?
You got it.
Is it possible for, like, when somebody passes away, they can curse a person on this side?
On the other side?
Yes.
I think they can haunt them. Maybe that's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, I got to tell you, I have had the worst luck my entire adult life.
Because of somebody who died?
Well, this is what I found out about 5 years ago. This guy read my hand, and everything he said to me, he was like dead on.
A palm reader?
Yes. And then he told me that my grandmother hated me, and she was trying to do everything to sabotage me.
Do you believe that?
I don't know.
I don't think your grandmother hated you.
I don't know, but...
How old were you when she died?
Oh, I was like, I don't know, 10?
Nah, your grandmother, that's the one thing the palm reader got wrong. I can tell you that.
But the thing is, though, I'm thinking maybe, like, past lives or something?
You might have had past lives and things like that, but I don't think your grandmother hated you. I wouldn't even go there. That's one thing, if you've been carrying that around... I'd get rid of it right now, Lori, because you know what? He's wrong.
I hope so, but you know what? I seriously have not been carrying it around. I haven't.
Sure but, you have. You even brought it up tonight. It's there.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
It's there. It's deep down inside. What's been happening to you, though?
It's mostly financial.
Well, welcome to the club.
Yeah, but it's really bad for me.
I got three kids that are on a roller coaster, and,
yeah.
You know, most of the people I know are having tough times. You're not alone there.
No, I realize that, yeah.
Even in Canada, things are tough for people.
That's where I am. I'm in Canada.
I know. Yeah. It says right up there on my screen, Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. But it wasn't your grandma. You agree?
Yes, I do, George. Thank you.
Okay. And then you'll feel better, believe me. Hey, we're going to come back in just a moment. More open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. And you can always email me. Better than calls. Believe me, you get more response. George at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be right back. Let me get on the roller coaster and start the ride. And here we go.